What's that?
Does it make it sound like I'm...
Well, you're on the first. You're on the first case. So. All right, waiting on one, but we'll go ahead and get started. So, a call to order the City Council work session for Tuesday, June 10th, 2025. Topics of discussion, starting out with number one, indecent exposure ordinance. This was something that I don't want to speak for Councilmember Olson, but quite a few people emailed me, and from what I understand, quite a few people emailed Councilmember Olson. So this is not to put an ordinance into effect or to shame anybody, because I heard something about, you know, breastfeeding mother. I don't think it has anything to do with that. We just wanted to ask our city attorney and our police department, like, what this means to us. How would this be enforced? How would this not be enforced? If we foresee any issues or things of that nature. Councilmember Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Essentially, the question was posed to me, does Ramsey have an ordinance in place that would stand up to challenge, unlike what happened in Rochester, right? Where it was an indecent exposure situation, and they challenged that, and it went to Supreme Court. The Supreme Court said, well, yeah. So due to all the technicalities and whatnot, they said, yeah. They reversed the ruling. So, looking at what was in the case file here, it looks like we have a pretty robust definition of what's allowed and what's not. But I guess the question is there more that we should do that would protect us against people trying stuff?
So I think that's
trying to do stuff.
Might, yeah.
that's the problem is that the argument was ambiguous.
Right.
The real problem, I think, is that a lot of these statutes are so old, so what everybody really knew was lewd and lascivious maybe 100 years ago or 80 years ago, no one even thought about, you know, wanting to define it anymore because it would have been impolite. Now there's apparently a need to define it. The case in question... in Rochester involved a particular defendant, a woman, who actually was charged for three separate offenses. Once she was charged, in all events, in all three, her breasts were exposed. In two of the cases, she had underwear on. In the last case, she just did something more than that, evidently, and made comments on how she was a professional dancer, was working in a strip club. Why that was, she thought it was important to tell the police that, I'm not sure, but she did. And there also was evidence, although this wasn't really called in, to question that there was a fairly significant amount of cocaine at the scene. So one could assume that perhaps she wasn't in a state of mind that would be described as normal. All that being said, it's not hard to visualize somebody in an altered state of mind doing that. And what the Supreme Court said was, in this case, that if the exposure of the breasts, in this case, was not done for the purpose of evoking a sexualized response, in other words, the actor had to actually intend the sexualized response, then it wasn't lewd, as they were reading. And if you had any chance at all to go through, I think in your materials you had the Supreme Court decision. They went through more gymnastics. I mean, this is a situation where, you know, people ask the question occasionally when they're reading a Supreme Court opinion, don't these people have anything better to do? Mm-hmm. And you look at something like this and you say, well, let's not look at this case to answer that question. So I think that, as you said, the Ramsey Ordinance is less delicate than the Rochester one, is the way I'd phrase it. In other words, you're a little bit more blunt about what is or isn't appropriate behavior. And for the most part, I think that you're fine as this thing is. And I don't know, I haven't heard anything about enforcement difficulties here. And your ordinance also tends to focus more than I believe the Rochester ordinance did on this conduct occurring in licensed premises. And usually this kind of ordinance is designed to prevent certain kinds of what otherwise might be described as free expression from going on inside of bars, things, strip clubs, frankly. Although that part isn't as bluntly phrased here as perhaps it could be, but it's, you get the point. Rochester wasn't that way, and yours isn't entirely. So conduct, for example, one could imagine would be described as lewd, that might be lewd involving a male in a situation, let's say a bathhouse or something, where there was a clearly sexualized atmosphere. The conduct that goes on in there would clearly be chargeable under even the Rochester ordinance and ours. But what happens if that same individual decides he's going to walk through a city park with kids?
Right.
Under your ordinance, I don't think there's a problem, because the indication would be that there's something specific, a conduct that's specific that's being prohibited, with no implication that it's being done necessarily in a lewd manner, even though that's where it's located in your ordinance. If I were to tweak this ordinance, and I ran it by three of our associates, this was a little problem that we did today, you know, how would we change this ordinance in Rams if we wanted to without doing any damage? One of the young men who has an interesting sense of humor decided to show up at the meeting without a shirt on. I said, no, we don't want to. Thanks for the laugh. Go get your shirt. But I think the understanding was that we're talking about female breasts. Lewdly would have to be defined as done in a sexual manner. If you insert those words, that would take care of the Supreme Court issue. It doesn't stop that from happening if you do it that way. A lot of people would be equally offended if that occurred, for example, a playground, as opposed to a parking lot of a convenience store. You know, the context is important, and intent is important, but intent in these kinds of crimes is relatively difficult to prove. If you're actually trying to say this individual, especially if they're under some kind of altered mental state, how are you going to prove that this was intended to arouse? So I think if done in a sexual manner, as long as it would be limited to breasts, I think that would be all the tweaking you necessarily would need. I do think, now I'm not sure, I don't remember whether your ordinance has the breastfeeding exception, but if that's not there, I think that's easy enough to insert. And non-sexual nudity in the context of political, artistic, or educational expression, when not conducted in a sexual manner, would be an exemption. Now, that can be tricky, too, if the idea here is that you have, let me step back, you have a lot of authority when you're talking about licensed, especially alcohol-related licenses and those kinds of facilities, because of the whole constitutional history we've had. Local units of government have a tremendous amount of power regulating whatever goes on, even if it conflicts with free speech. So what might be a artistic expression, defined however you want to define it, held someplace where it isn't, you know, there isn't a license on site that you can't regulate in that situation. You wouldn't have that reach. But your ordinance right now, the way it's set up, does. So I'm not really concerned. But I do think that there are a couple small things that you could do that would clearly address the issue that unfortunately was brought up in this case. I don't know if it's Plancart or Plancarte, but in the Plancart case, I'll call it, you can do that fairly simply, I think. Otherwise, your ordinance has an abundance of descriptives, and I don't think you'd have a problem at all in defending that. Okay. Beyond now the exemption that's been created for female breasts.
Okay. Any questions Kirsten?
I don't have any questions. I just want to state that I think that, once again, as our attorney has mentioned, that this is already really well encompassing. It's much more strict than the state statute, and we don't need to insert a breastfeeding portion into this, as it's already protected under state statute. We don't have issues with this. There's just like a lack of a local issue here. So I don't think we need to add anything to this to make it more encompassing. The Supreme Court decision didn't change whether or not our ordinance is, you know, valid or not. It's, I think, strong enough. It mentions nakedness more than just lewd behavior. So I think, you know, moving forward, when there's Supreme Court decisions, they all don't need to come to this table. They could be reviewed by our attorney. I think that's within his scope of practice to keep up to date on Supreme Court cases that could impact our city ordinances, especially when they do not impact our city directly in a consistent manner. I spoke to our police department, and we don't have cases that happen very often, especially considering that them not being women on top of it. So these are things that could be happening administratively to not take time, I think, during our council meetings moving forward.
Other comments or questions? For the police department, nothing changes for enforcement. Like, you guys have a process,
yep.
Officer discretion.
Correct.
Yeah.
It's really been a non-issue. I mean, the Supreme Court didn't change anything that would change our day-to-day operations, and it's not, the issue in hand isn't one that we see. No, it always could arise at any time.
Mm-hmm.
We see lots of different things, but it isn't something on our radar that would change the way we operated on a day-to-day basis. So we'd still follow our municipal code rather than state statute, probably, in that situation.
Michael, anything else?
I don't think so. Thank you for your
assessment. Yeah. Just want to echo, yeah, I had a higher than normal reach out from residents. Maybe it's just the people I was with during my campaign and stuff, but I just wanted to make sure it was going to be a non-issue. So.
Is there any action you want us to take?
No, I mean, the breastfeeding thing, it sounds like Kirsten pointed out, it's already allowed at the state level, and the way it's written right now, it sounds good. Is there anything that's sticking out to you that are trip hazards?
If you ask a lawyer, should you write some more in your statute? The lawyer's going to say, oh, yeah, and then some, right? But I think your ordinance right now is fine. Like I said, a little tweaking certainly wouldn't hurt anything, but I don't think you really need it the way it's drafted right now. And a lot of it's interpretation. And I rather suspect that it's possible that under the circumstances that were described in that ordinance, the most significant charge that would have occurred would have been a possession charge more than what she was doing while under the influence. And how this got twisted up in the appeals process to be all about being naked as opposed to being high, I don't know.
Very interesting. Well, I think if we're compliant and everything looks good, I would rather leave sleeping dogs lie and not try to adjust anything. Don't need to bring any attention to it. Okay. Thank you. Thanks for all that insight. All right. Moving on to item number two, discussion regarding implementing HR software.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of council. There is a lot of information to get through with this case. There were many attachments to your case. There's a PowerPoint attachment to the case that I really don't intend to bring up on the screen. It's more background information. But what I'd like to cover here is to update the council with regard to our current processes in HR with the three of us that work on HR. There's myself, Nicole Laubach, who's a full-time HR generalist, and Anna Green, who's the new full-time HR specialist. My time is not 100% dedicated to HR, so I would say it's probably more like a 2.7 FTE dedicated to HR. Everything we do is a manual process. We do not have HR software. We have Excel spreadsheets. We have a lot of them. It's a manual process. They have to be manually updated. They have to be manually checked. We sort and we filter, and I have them color-coded so that if columns are hidden, I don't sort and filter, and all of a sudden everything is jumbled. We are making do, but it is not efficient, especially with regard to getting employees the information they need immediately if they are not a daytime employee. And it takes quite a bit of time and follow-up and tracking to get the required signatures. And so I don't want to get too far off track here, but for about 10 years, we have had a NeoGov product. It's called Insight, and it's the online application process, applicant tracking. That's worked well. Currently, for 2025, invoice Insight cost the city $5,296. It goes up a little bit each year, but it's been a very reliable and good source of information. A lot of cities use it. A lot of people that are interested in city jobs are familiar with it. And so with the Insight module, it's geared up and ready to then sync to these other modules that I'm very interested in. There's several other modules I'm not interested in, so I haven't covered that here, but I'll get to that in just a second. So why now, right? So we're in the middle of a year. Well, you probably are familiar with that the ERP project through LOGIS didn't happen. Part of that ERP project was to include an add-on software called High Street that would have helped HR some. Nothing like what these NeoGov products could do, but we were holding out hope for that. I did reach out to LOGIS staff to say, hey, is there anything else in the works right now? And essentially, he wrote back to me and said, NeoGov is an incredible product. They had tried to negotiate a deal with NeoGov, but NeoGov was not willing to give the discounts that they needed to offer it through LOGIS, and so it didn't happen. But he did acknowledge, you know, that it's really got some great functionality. The three of us, HR staff, have spent some time meeting with NeoGov. We probably had about 5 meetings with NeoGov. We've had 2 online meetings with the City of Savage. We went out to the City of Blaine and met with them in person to look at how they use these products, and then also an online screen share with the League of Minnesota Cities and how they use it. And it's really quite phenomenal. I'm just going to say, you don't know what you don't know, and I haven't been using any kind of HR software here, so it seems that the possibilities are endless, and it's very nice that they link together. One of the biggest paragraphs in the case sort of just points out that HR might be the last department to try to get with the times technology-wise. It's a paragraph in the case that starts out that regularly city functions are evaluated on quality and efficiency. I won't read it. It's very long. But essentially, as far as I know, every other department has implemented technology to ease the pain of manual processes. Another thing about why now that I wanted to comment on is that, as you may know, Sue Hurd, who was with me for 10 years, retired. Sue liked technology a little bit less than me, which, you know. And Nicole Laubach is very interested in taking advantage of these more modern efficiencies. Anna Green, who came to us just in February, has come from larger organizations such as Anoka Hennepin and Anoka Technical College, and she was, frankly, kind of blown away with how we manage our data in the Excel spreadsheets, and the institutional knowledge that goes into making sure this all flows. And she expressed concern, you know, what's going to happen when you go, Colleen? And I think the time is now to try to get some of this technology in place. Another reason that right now is good is that we're through most of the recruiting for this year. It is not a contract year. I won't have to start working on contracts till next fall. It's a non-election year. Our city clerk has got some capacity in her schedule to assist with getting this up and running. And she has she's been involved with HR in years past, so she's familiar with how we do things and why. There's also been changes to what's required of us. So now that we're greater than 100 full-time employees, we have to produce the biannual EEO4 report. One of the modules, which is called Core HR, is supposedly push a button and it happens versus a day and a half of me creating the report manually. Paid family medical leave is coming. I'm imagining that's going to be creating some additional tracking and records and things that we just don't know how this getting more up to speed with technology could really help us. The modules that are out there are Insight, which we have. I'm asking for Onboard. We also have governmentjobs.com, which is interesting because we're not paying for it. I would like to get Perform. Perform is my last choice as far as of the three or four modules. Core HR and eForms. There's something called single sign-on. We're not able to do single sign-on. We don't have the capacity. I can't remember the term. Somebody that's more savvy than me in IT. We don't have the ability to do single sign-on because we don't have that kind of a foundation. There's something called Learn. I really don't know what that's about. Something called Attract. I can imagine that has to do with attracting candidates. There's time and attendance. We have J.D. Edwards for that. There's payroll. We have J.D. Edwards for that. There is a benefits module. I'm very interested in the benefits module, but I can't ask for the world right now. I may ask for that in 2027 if I'm allowed to proceed on with this request. And there's something called Vetted. And right now our police department does our background checks, as well, and then in the event that the individual has not been a long-term resident of Minnesota, then I outsource the background to a company called Verified First. So there's a lot going on with that. I apologize. It's my recommendation that we do move ahead with three, potentially four, of these modules. The pricing is in the case. There are some significant incentives for doing this. The last lower part of the case, there's an incentive example A, which is three modules. Incentive option B, which is the four modules. The difference in price between options A and options B is the Perform module, and Perform is performance management. It would be very nice to have the performance management. We are behind on our performance evaluations, significantly behind. It becomes an HR process of chasing supervisors and managers. Please, 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 I will, and people get busy. But the beauty of these systems is that the dashboard will tell people, you know, you've got these assignments to do. It doesn't have to be an email from me or my staff. It'll be online reminders for them to do. One of the attachments to the case just talks about all of our manual processes that we do, and it is very, very labor intensive. You may wonder if getting this software would reduce HR staffing. And I've been told time and time again that it's not going to reduce your current HR staffing because you're going to get used to this, you're going to grow into it, but then your city is going to grow. It may reduce the likelihood of asking for another HR person in the next, I'm going to go as far as to say, like, 3 or 4 years. So I think it's a very good thing. I've been doing a lot of talking here. They did state to me that there is some flexibility in the year one costs. I have found money in my budget that I feel confident will be there from the personal testing and recruitment line item and the training line item. I had some extra savings at the end of 2024 in these areas, and it's looking to be like I'm going to have savings in those areas again. It's always a, you know, get your crystal ball out when it comes to these types of budget items. But I have accounted for the city engineer recruitment, bringing on 5 additional firefighters, bringing on 2 police officers, and about 8 months of, which is what was left that I haven't found from the financial statements, so May to December, at about $600 a month for the other various employee onboarding testing expenses. I feel like I can afford $21,118 out of the 2025 budget. Again, most of the funding would come from follow-up years. When they stated to me that there's some flexibility in the year one costs, I assumed that they would then shift that difference to year two and year three, and they said no. One idea that I had, and you can obviously give it some thought, is if I could propose to them that we go with all 4 modules, not for the price that they listed, but for what I can afford, we may be able to sign the deal. Any questions?
Dan, but before that, mm-hmm. what you can afford is $21,000?
Yes.
For the first year?
Yes.
Would that be the same for following years?
No. So now we'd be looking at the option B, which is 4 modules. Year 2 would be $25,535.
Yep.
Year 3 would be $32,238.
But for the 3 years, would you be able to, if your budget, be able to afford $21,000? Or is that just from this year?
Just from this year.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, so to me, I mean, so again, in my private sector job, I support ERP solutions, HR solutions. I mean, it's a no-brainer, I think, you know, especially if we're using Excel spreadsheets, like, oh my goodness, the security, the data risks, I mean, it just makes me scared. So I'm 100% supportive, but here's my questions then about it. One thing that we come across is if when we persons using this for HR, this for the GL, using this other process for their payables management or, you know, AP things, you know, and that it can cause issues as well with them communicating with each other and, you know, get the payroll data and hit the GL proper accounts and stuff. Would it be worth, I mean, are you pretty happy with J.D. Edwards? I know that'd be a huge investment, but J.D. Edwards for the accounting and things like that, or do we want to look at a bigger solution again that would encompass this plus everything so they all work nicely together? Or, I have just honest questions, I don't know.
Yeah, council members back. I stay away from J.D. Edwards as much as I can. It's extremely complicated. It's not user-friendly. But the finance folks know it, and they know it well. Mm-hmm. I don't want to step on their toes. I do know that the League of Minnesota Cities is actually using NeoGov for their payroll, which surprised me because of PARA. And the League of Minnesota Cities employees are also public employees and require PARA, which has always been kind of the hang-up of why we can't use other softwares. NeoGov does have an interface to upload to J.D. Edwards? Should I want it to? Should we deem that that's a good solution? But even if it doesn't, I think the benefits of these modules will help so much, and they'll improve the accuracy. For one thing, so like our compensation spreadsheet, Diana has this huge compensation spreadsheet. HR takes it and makes it way more complicated because we filter in, we put in the month of the year that somebody gets a step change, what their LTD premium is going to go to, the exact date that they need to have the step change and everything. But it is a manual process. Yeah. So we sit there with this big Excel spreadsheet, and we scroll down. Yeah. So let's say we're looking for July step changes.
Never make it corrupt or something.
7, 7, 7, 7, 7, you know, oh, these people need step changes. And then you've got your ruler, and you're then hand typing, and it's not a perfect process.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree with you. Mr. Craig, you have a follow-up question, too?
Yes.
Just from kind of reading what was posted in here, I mean, it looks like it's all cloud-based, too, where you're just basically going to log in, and I mean, there's no infrastructure we're going to need here to install and do.
Correct.
Our current equipment's going to handle it, right? Our machines, our current...
No, everything will be fine. And in the PowerPoint presentation, I actually deleted this slide because I thought it was a little bit... You know, it talked about the ability to have 100% remote workforce. Well, we're not going to have 100% remote workforce. But if we did have some... health crisis.
That would never happen.
You know, it can be done off-site.
Right,
and signatures can still keep happening, and processes can be advanced on.
That's good. So, again, 100% support this, unless there was something else we do to make it even better for everyone. But it sounds like, it probably has an export imported to Gene Edwards. If you want to do that with GL stuff, that's fine. So, to me, it comes down to that, kind of like we talked about in past years of, I know you kind of mentioned the reasons why, but I think this would fit really good into the budget. And like, again, I don't want to commit ourselves to big budget impacts. I know you said you have $21,000 this year. So just the timing, but I 100% support this. I worry, I mean, here in Excel stuff, that worries me about security, that worries me about files get corrupt. You know, like you said, the knowledge that it would take for the person, efficiency so much, you know, and like you said, it was on a daily basis, all day to day. We need to do this. But do we want to do it before the budget and commit ourselves to a big budget impact before having that discussion? And, it sounds like we're not worried about the other modules. So those would be my discussion thoughts.
Good discussion thoughts. Who else? I'll ask a couple questions real quick. My line of questioning was along Dan's. Is there any other platforms that we can utilize from NeoGov to actually reduce the cost in other areas? So if we're paying X amount for J.D. Edwards, but their version of payroll is cheaper, that should be a cost saving. So I understand maybe it's not discussed with all the departments yet, but is there anything else right here or another product that NeoGov has that could reduce the need to have to be paying a subscription to somebody else? Anything else we can pull under this umbrella?
So sure, the vetted program. I only know it's for doing backgrounds, but I haven't researched it. That if it was really good, it could replace the police department having to run backgrounds for HR.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking. My ask for you would be to see what other processes we go through day by day and how much those cost us, and then see if there's a cheaper solution by bundling it with this. Because a lot of times if we bring everything under the same umbrella, that might actually be cheaper. And then my second point, and Dan can probably attest to this, at least from the sales I do, everything's always negotiable. So I would love to go in and say, you're saying 21, I can do 19. Or whatever. I just want to give you the power to negotiate.
Okay.
At least push you in the direction to give it your best shot to not come in.
I would also like to pursue rate caps. We get rate caps through our health insurance, right?
Mm-hmm.
The typical increase, I've been told, is about 5% per year. I would like to request for 2029 and 2030 instead of the 5 or 6% increase that they project to be rate capped, it's a 3%. I mean, I don't want to be unreasonable, but I think we could get that done.
Yeah. You bring it up?
No, but I mean, yeah, it's worth a try. It depends, you know, it depends too if you're dealing with a partner versus the actual company, and if the company be like, no, you know, if they're big enough, it might be nothing to them, but it's worth trying. I mean, but yeah, absolutely trying. But no, I wholeheartedly, and I'm almost embarrassed to say, I didn't realize that we were still using Excel for all this stuff. I thought JV Editors was more encompassing of everything, HR, payroll, and, you know, I just...
It's very limited. J.D. Edwards is very limited with HR, and it was comforting to me to hear actually from one of their executives that they acknowledged that, and they tried to work out a deal with NeoGov because it is an excellent product. But the benefits module, the salesperson accidentally started talking about the benefits module, and we're like, wow, really? Oh, that's so cool. That's part of HR Core or Core HR. And they're like, oh, no, that's the benefits module. And that was sounding really enticing because we do all benefits in-house and it's paper.
Yeah.
So of the list, I'm going to say probably the benefits one would be the next one. Now, with that said, I forgot to mention, there's a learning curve here.
Oh, yeah.
There is us three HR staff sitting down with their implementer, I think is what they call them, and actually designing these programs. There are templates that they offer up, but it's also customized to what we need. And there is a learning curve. And so I wouldn't want to bite off more than I can chew and have it just sit there and we're paying for it, but we can't get to it.
Sphere. Do you know, I see there's onboarding. Is there anything else about like professional development, like modules where you can, I know like at my company, they'll have us every quarter take some professional development, you know, courses and to stay concurrent with like statutes and things of that nature. Is
there's
there a way to push that?
There's something called Learn. There's NeoGov Learn. I got to think that's probably what you're describing.
Yeah.
Time and attendance and payroll, which is available, that's not my wheelhouse. That's finance, and so I don't want to speak for them, but potentially that'd be a huge shift. That would be a heavy lift.
Okay. Kirsten?
I'll second what Councilmember Speck said, that I'm 100% for this. I want you to get what you think you need in order to make the ship run smoothly. I would also love to see if there's other avenues in which we can bring more things together so it's easier for you, so we're not using programs all over the place that aren't speaking to each other or are clunky. So I'm not opposed to us saying move ahead tonight. Like Councilmember Speck said, maybe we should wait, but I'm fine either way. Whatever ends up being the outcome, whether we decide tonight that you get to go ahead and run with it or if we wait, I know we need it. So I guess in my opinion, it doesn't matter to me that we're not waiting for our budget to come out because it's a need. If you bring it to me, I know you need it.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Dan?
Oh, Diane.
Can I add something?
Yes.
So in regards to the old J.D. Edwards ERP, the main considerations when they did go out was because of the HR budgeting modules of that. We're having the finance side, and it is going to be brought back up for discussion. It's kind of on hold right now because of, you know, everything kind of crashed on it. And they don't want to sit on it. They want to start the process again. And so that's kind of where we are right now. We just had a kind of a webinar with Logis a couple days ago. So it was... Oracle is just too big of an animal, really, when you look at it for the size that we are.
Totally.
And that's what they found out. So that's kind of where we're at in regards to it. But we're happy with the financial side. It was the budgeting is very, like the spreadsheets, it's manual, and so is HR. So.
Are you saying J.D. Edwards is part of Oracle?
The system, well, it is Oracle. JD Edwards is Oracle. And the new package that we were looking at also was Oracle. But it was a very big animal. And that, they said that the ones that are out on there right now, they said it takes a long time. And I know a county's on it. And they said that it took a lot of different implementers before they finally got it right.
Sure. Didn't sound like Sage or Danx BC or something like that. That's sweet.
I guess, Diana, did you ever look at NeoGov to see if it was something that would make you, I mean, it sounds like you're happy, but did you preview it just to see if there's some bells and whistles that...
I didn't look at NeoGov. The ones that are out there, a lot of the cities are going to, like, BSNA for financial-wise, but a lot of them are still in that implementation or just for the first couple of years. And, like, where Clay mentioned about being on it for a couple of years and having staff, I'm also in that same boat. And so I kind of want to have somebody that maybe if we're switching software to, that they're part of that discussion, or, you know, that it's going to be their animal.
Yeah.
Okay. One thing I wanted to add, the core HR module has a compensation component. I haven't gotten my fingers on it yet, but it sounds like maybe I could actually help Diana with her compensation spreadsheets, because it's got the capacity to do like sweeping changes, and it's a possibility that some of what's in core HR, I could actually help her out a little bit.
Yeah.
Have you heard much from the other? Like you said, you talked to Blaine and other places about the support afterwards? Does it seem like a pretty solid support team, or is it kind of...
It is. It is a solid support team, and we have experienced that already with our use of Insight.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you for bringing this up to us. I'm all about this.
All right. So recommendations receive City Council approval by consensus to provide option, or to proceed with options A or B shown above. Any thoughts on A and B, A or B? B?
I'd say let's go with A first. Let them get this figured out. If they don't like it, then when they ask us for a change, we're not rerunning. I mean, we can always add perform later. We can always add benefits later. For the first part, instead of having such a large animal, as you like to call it, why not just have a smaller system, three pieces, so that way you for sure get that done in the before you come back and say, I want to add this, or I want to not. That's, I'm just looking at time, thoughts, and everything like that. Going, if you're overwhelmed, you're never going to get around to it.
Thank you for that, and another thing that I would like to add is, I know the city of Robbinsdale, they tried Perform, they actually didn't like it, and they put their performance evaluation into eForms, and so that is still automating the process with eForms. And so I would be very open to that.
So option A, so I would maybe agree, especially if we don't know if we're going to like Perform, maybe we go with option A, but you... Yeah, maybe option A, I would just like to see what the, like if you were to opt in to Perform, like, do you get a 90-day free trial where you can poke around before you actually pull the trigger on it, and then can you kind of retain some of those cost savings?
I could ask about that, but you have to pay the, implementation fee,
sure.
And that is super. The implementation fee for Perform is $10,028. It's an expensive module.
And what is it if you bundle it? Same? Is it the same or? Like if you were to go with option B,
That is the
$6,000 more, and the implementation is $3,000.
No, I know the price is more. I'm wondering. So you're saying that if we wait on Perform, you'll have to pay that $10,000 fee on the We can avoid paying that fee if we just go all four at once.
No, it's still there, but it's discounted at 50%. So that one-time implementation fee of $10,028. I'm sorry, that is not just on. That's not. This is confusing. It's just not on Perform. So the implementation fees are discounted at 50%. If you look at option A as compared to option B, the price difference is $8,617, and that is the difference, which includes both the implementation and the annual license fee for year one.
Right. I guess my question is, if you added Perform the second year, would you have to pay that $10,000 fee, or would you pay a fourth of that?
It would, hold on. It would be, so the one-time implementation fee that is not discounted for Perform, so not at 50%, is, according to this, is $5,438.
So yeah. Waiting a year would cost more money if you decide you want it.
Yeah,
just in my opinion, I don't think any of these numbers sound unreasonable, just from my experience, actually pretty decent. Because you're not even moving from a database to another, but that stuff they have to bring in from, you know, files. I guess my opinion, I would say, you know, if you're going to be learning all the aspects, I would just do them all right away. I don't, if you get them all implemented and done together, and kind of see how you like it. But again, I want to trust your judgment. If you think it's too much, you don't want to worry about all of them for right away, that's fine, but I would recommend just doing them all at once to get everything done together. You know, then you get the same person doing it, the same data, it's not worried about adding something later and maybe something going wrong or different.
Michael.
But whatever you want.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. They might have some suggestions as to whether it makes more sense to do them all too. They may say, well, when people do all four, it is kind of overwhelming. Or they might say that there's great benefit to doing it all at once, so it might not be a bad idea to get their input on that as well.
So I asked the City of Blaine, HR manager at the City of Blaine, Lori, somebody, I said, looking at what the City of Ramsey wants, if you had the choice, you know, which would you pick and choose? And she said that she thought the modules that we had selected were excellent. They already have those modules. And she said, I would go for everything you can afford because they're integrated. So as soon as you get them set up, they're like already populated.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess I'd be okay with B then. I think if we wait to do the last one, that's $3,000 more right there.
What's the difference between a 2-lane highway and a 4-lane highway?
Go ahead.
Right, but she can only afford $21,000 right now, and if we did option B, that's $29,000.
Right? And I was thinking that a strategy, because they said the year one costs are flexible or negotiable, I was thinking a strategy would be to say, we want all four modules and we can afford $21,000.
Yeah.
Not $29,000.
Yeah. I think that's good. When would you need to pull the trigger on this by?
Well, this pricing is good through December 31st, but I really would like to get going on it by August at the latest.
So I will, my suggestion, see if you agree with this, is I would say go to them for the four, tell them you can only do 21. If they say no, then in 2 weeks we'll reevaluate.
Okay.
But that way you're truthfully saying City Council approved me for 21,000, they want all four, can you do it? And if they say yes, then we have a pretty good price. If they say no, we can rediscuss if the three modules at around 21,000 is fine.
Okay. Excellent.
Negotiate?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Yep.
Thank you.
All right, on to the third and final item, review 2024 annual compensation or comprehensive financial report, management report, and special purpose report.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the City Council. Aaron Nielsen, it used to be known as MMKR, Malloy, Montague, Karnowski, and Radosovich, was bought out by L.B. Carlson. And so Aaron is still the partner with the firm, and he's been presenting the past several years, and he is tonight here tonight to present the 2024 audit findings. No, findings, I shouldn't say. I don't want to say findings. In regards to the audit was held at the end of March, beginning of April for the 2 weeks, and the preliminary was back at the beginning of February. So this is also then the staff preparing the report, and then their firm looking over the report for just for consistency. So I'm going to let Aaron speak on behalf of, I didn't put it up on the screen because some of the numbers get small, so I just thought it's easier to read if you have it before you. So I'm going to let Aaron take the floor.
Thank you.
All right, very good. Well, I appreciate the opportunity to be here this evening. It's always exciting to get to the presentation point and a wrap-up of the annual audit process. As Diana said, it's a very long process. I'm sure our staff are even more excited than I am, to do the presentation. Get this one. You have three documents, I believe, before you this evening, the annual comprehensive financial report, our special purpose report, and then the management report. The PowerPoint, or the printed PowerPoint we have before us, is simply some information we pulled out of the that management report document, similar to what we've done in the past. It's been a change, hard for me not to say MMKR is over. I've been doing that for nearly 30 years, but the change has been great, and I think it's providing more opportunities for us to better serve our clients. So with that, I'll flip through the presentation, and then we can open it up for questions and cover any topics that you'd like to address. As your independent auditors, really our position here is to really hit on these first couple slides, the results of our audit. And as you can see, we've issued what is known as an unmodified or a clean opinion on the financial statements. So meaning that the information you're receiving from counsel, those financial documents, are consistent and fairly stated where it puts on the general ledger and the financial reports that you're receiving. So that's as of December 31st, 2024, and for the year then ended. With regard to internal control and compliance, we're pleased to report we did not have any internal control comments to share with you or any instances of non-compliance to report. So I'm pleased with the results of that testing under government auditing standards. With regard to the Office of the State Auditor's Legal Compliance Manual, there's seven broad areas, and within each of those categories of testing, there's many items that are tested with inside of that. We have just one compliance comment that you can see we reported within bid contracts with the use of subcontractors. There's supposed to be specific language in those contracts, and once the prime contractor's paid, then the subcontractors will be paid within 10 days of the payment date. The prime receives it. And for one of the contracts, we noted that language was not included in the contract. So really, that's the extent of the testing. We don't have any belief that the subcontractors weren't paid or anything like that, but just a nuance to make sure it's that language is getting included in that. I think in this case, this was a situation where the city had worked with it was a general contractor advisor for the...
We actually had contracted the project out to a consulting firm, and they did not include the language within the documents. But we get the finding because it was our project.
Sure. Oh,
great. Diana, so I know they looked at three contracts. Are there more? Has staff looked into it? Are there other contracts in addition to what they looked at?
There was more contracts that they look at all the bidding of the contracts. Is that your question? Or are you asking whether or not there was more than one?
I thought I'd read that you'd sampled three.
Sample of three.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So do you and your staff know, are there other instances that...
No, there was just the one.
Okay.
Because it was, again, most
magically caught the one?
Yep, and so majority of the contracts are in-house. This was actually a project that it was another firm that handled the road. It was a road project, and they actually handled the contracts of that one.
So I can ask, that wasn't anything that we reviewed, was it? I'm just trying to think of a situation where we, you know, we review those contracts. Is this something, or was this something you're saying?
It's new language that was added, I believe, this last year in regards to.
Yeah, the last couple of years. It's,
so Bruce is aware of it, so it will be something that will be making sure that it's in the contracts going forward.
Okay.
It is in ours. It was not in theirs. So if that was your question, I'm just taking a long way around to get to it.
Moving on to the next slide, we've included there, our focus here is looking at, and the rest of the information we're including here is really information we're gathering out of that annual comprehensive financial report. I should have commented, you've submitted that to the GFOA in past years, received their award, the award every year. This year you've again prepared it to meet those qualifications and submit for the award again. The governmental funds here, we've combined all of them for a presentation. A couple reconciliations of that, where the top half is looking at the equity components or fund balance when we're talking about governmental funds. The lower component or portion you can see is by the actual funds. When looking at this, I'll make a comment because it'll tie back to the probably the last slide here. On governmental funds, it's a current financial resources focus, so it's the modified accrual basis, so we're not capturing capital assets when you're purchasing them or long-term obligations. Your focus is really how many spendable resources do we have available to us for our projects and for our mission as the government for the governmental funds. So you can see when you look at that overall equity in the governmental funds, there was a decrease of about $5 million when you look at equity. And normally when you think of private enterprise, that would be an unfortunate situation to see your equity go down by $5 million. But in governmental funds, you'll have the fluctuation when you issue bonds and the proceeds come in one year and then you're spending down the proceeds in a subsequent year. And that's a big part of what has happened this year. And we'll show a different picture with that dual presentation when we get to the end of the presentation here. But what you can see here is that $14 million was the biggest change and the reason for the reduction spending of restricted resources of the organization, bond proceeds this past year, for purposes of street and other projects within the city in 2024. I've got a couple of slides for the general fund that follow. The general fund's your primary operating fund, where a significant portion of the city's activity runs through your organization. The general fund, as you can see, and I can't recall other than saying this next comment, is that you've maintained a stable financial position in the general fund, largely with your budgetary controls in place and processes that are managed by your budget managers throughout the year. So you can see the city has maintained a balance between as the size of the organization has increased, you require to have more equity on hand and cash on hand at that point in time every year at the end of the year that we're measuring to have that same financial position. And really a result of, as I mentioned, the policies you have, the fund balance policy that you have and how you manage that from year to year. The next couple slides are similar. The first one is the focus on revenues for the general fund, budget to actual, or actually start with actual versus the budget. Total revenues for your general fund, just for the size of the operation this past year, revenues totaled $18.9 million. They came in over budget and over the prior year. Increases anticipated with the annual levy process. Really what we found with the variance, the reason for the variance this past year was conservative budgeting as a good practice, as well as then elevated development activity this past year. Common, I said last night's presentation that I had, and we're seeing it most of, probably so far every one of them, is the conservative budgeting of investment earnings because the rates have been so low for
government what you're allowed to invest in as a city. So there was almost virtually nothing for investment earnings except for the last couple of years. So that's been a favorable area we're seeing with favorable variances. The other thing to me that stands out, and it's just to share and a point that I know the council's well aware of, but the financing of your general fund operations is coming primarily from property taxes, and it's really the source you have to look to finance the operations of the general fund. You don't get a lot of intergovernmental revenue sources which fluctuate based on formulas as designed through the legislative process. This last year, I'm not sure if I had mentioned, 78% to the general fund was property tax revenue. The next slide, as I mentioned, similar only simply by budget to actual, and we're looking at the key components, the functions of the general fund, general government, public safety, highways and streets. Total expenses this past year of $20.8 million. Your actual expenses came very close to what was anticipated, just slightly over budget, or about 0.1% over budget, but that variance more than covered by the favorable variance in revenues this past year. The increase over the prior year is anticipated with the budget, and again, with inflationary increases and then the elevated development activity within the city. Common theme we see, public safety being the primary spending component of general fund operations. With cities we work with for your city, that made up 39% of the general fund spending. Shifting gears with the next slide, we're looking at your enterprise fund operations. So I spent a little bit of time with the discussion of the general fund and the governmental funds, where modified accrual basis, current financial resources. That's different with the enterprise funds. They are on the full accrual, similar to business units, industry standards of full accrual accounting, so long-term assets, long-term obligations. With the enterprise funds, you're trying to run those more like a business, so several names, enterprise, business-type activities, or utility funds, I'll kind of commingle those all as kind of catching all of these. When we look at your utility funds, I'll point out, as you can see in the lower half, each one of these operations, by and large, saw an increase this past year, and we'll see a little more detail on the next slide. That exception, when we look at total fund balance, was the sewer utility fund, which had a one-time transfer this year that was kind of out of the norm, where resources were transferred from the sewer utility to the water fund. Was it $7 million approximately? I think it was aiding the expansion of the sewer treatment or water treatment plant this past year that was approved through your transfer process. The other comment I generally make with utility operations is the concentration those funds have in capital asset infrastructure for those, and your city has done a good job of managing that over time. You've built up fund balance, or I shouldn't say fund balance, net position in these entities of these funds in order to be able to make those infrastructure improvements without issuing debt for the utility components of the enterprise operations. And the next slide really becomes a test. You can see I'm pulling out the cheaters that I have gotten accustomed to, or kind of. It's very difficult to see the numbers on this slide. What I wanted to make sure I'm clear on is when we look at the operations, the operating income versus operating expenses for each one of these utility funds, you can see each one of these, the exception, and I'll speak to that, is the recycling fund. They all had positive operating income. And that would really capture just the direct operating revenue, the operating costs of them. So that's before any intergovernmental revenue coming in, any investment earnings, any major contributions from developers or other governmental funds and transfers. So you can see that the sewer utility fund, while it had a total fund balance decrease because of the transfer out, the operations of that unit are positive. The recycling fund, you can see, and we've talked about it with past audits, each one of the years presented here shows a deficit with the operating income of the recycling fund. But what's unique with that one is you do get a grant intergovernmental grant that helps offset some of the costs of the recycling funds, and we're seeing some increases with that, with the contract fees, and I was reflecting with what I was working on today is the how it's changed so much with the what we used to receive in refunds and recyclables and things like that. It's really quite interesting how much that's changed over time. So the very last slide becomes kind of the challenge with, or I find it challenging with governmental funds and presentations and governmental units, is we do have what's known as the dual perspective presentation in government financial statements. So if you look at that lower half for business type activities, that change in activity, you can see it shows the business type activities an increase in the net investment in capital assets, and really that's the spending of your available resources and investing it into the infrastructure of the business type activities. And it matches exactly to the utility funds that we talked about early on a couple slides back. You probably gathered what I was kind of stretching early on in the presentation with governmental funds. We talked about a decrease in your overall governmental funds. That dual perspective is this presentation on the entity-wide financial statements. We're consolidating all of the individual funds of the organization, your governmental funds, internal service funds where applicable, and looking at it from a long-term perspective. So we're adding in the streets, the capital assets of the organization, the long-term obligations, any debt, pension obligations. And you can see where we talked about a significant decrease because of capital spending on the governmental funds. When we look at that long-term perspective, you can see you had an overall increase because those dollars were spent in a manner that became capital assets to the organization. And thus, you can see an increase in governmental activities over the prior year. The net investment in capital assets, if you dig into the details in your ACFR, you'll see there's a lot of discussion about it being such a significant component, again, the infrastructure of the organization, the streets, and you can see an increase there, and generally we're positive about increases in equity. What that's telling me is you're investing more into that capital assets infrastructure of the city at a faster rate than they're being depreciated. So you're investing into the streets of the city of Ramsey and paying off debt at a faster pace than the actual depreciation of those, which is quite common. You're paying your bonds off over typically a 20-year period. Hopefully those roads are lasting more of a 40-year period, closer to that type arrangement. The restricted was the use of some of those restricted resources, as we talked about, for that investment in infrastructure. And then unrestricted becomes that catch-all. There's more flexibility with those dollars in this past year's operations, with an increase in those unrestricted dollars for future use for the organization. So with that, I kind of picked what I wanted to make sure I covered. You know, really the opinions are the key part for my responsibility as the independent auditor. But if you have any questions, I'd be happy to try to answer them.
Questions?
I double-checked some of the math. And, you know, 6 plus 6 plus 8 does equal so. Right. So
you audited the auditor?
Yeah.
Anything else?
So just to give a brief update on this, Aaron will do a brief presentation for a couple of minutes just saying about the unqualified opinion and that sort of thing. And then it is on to accept the report as a consent item. And then it will be to send it off to this to get the award again. That falls under the consent item. And I guess I'd like to ask a question. Did everybody understand this last page, what he presented?
Yes.
Basically, spend the funds, the assets went up for the improvements. So the main improvements this year was we spent on bond funds that was related to the road improvements. And so those assets went up, and of course the water treatment plant was the major. We're seeing the first half of it come into play.
Excellent. Anything else? All right. Thank you so much.
Thank
we'll
you.
See you in a little bit.
Thanks.
All right, on to future discussions. We've got the future topic list here. I believe there was some dates associated, so we've got the seat administrator evaluation. coming up, as well as the paving of the gravel roads. Anything, Chris or Dan, on the public works side we should be aware of? And Michael. Michael, I'll ask you that question.
Yeah, he's in chairs.
So. I did what Chris did. Michael, anything we should be aware of on that one?
keep looking at how fast to do it and kicking around numbers and whatnot, but
it's the remainder of the gravel roads, right, we'll be discussing.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's a new one.
And there's a few. There's one off Highway 10 and a couple off Berry Light, right?
It's off of 5
Oh, there's nobody else.
And there's one off of Berry Light, yeah. And there's one in north, the far north of the city. So yeah, there's and
Collins,
and there's one by, yeah, and then there's one by
Lord of Light Church.
Yep.
So yeah, they're, and then, but they're all fairly short. And
usually we don't dive in this too much, but since Brian's not here and it's on for next week, so I want to give people a quick preview. All right, and then we have the council member topic requests. There's two on here for myself and one from Kirsten, so check that out. Anything there piques your interest, let's talk. All right, if not, we have some time back so we can get all prepared for the next meeting. So I will, anything else from the city or from city staff or from the council?
Did everybody do the evaluation?
Yes.
Not yet. I still
not yet.
It's long. That's, yeah. That's yeah. A comment for
take your time.
City staff. It was like 111 questions.
Yeah.
How long did it take?
Is it true or false?
Hour?
It's like
45 minutes, 12 minutes.
Give yourself an hour.
Depending on how fast you can read.
Gross.
I would also say that there's like a decent chunk of them that maybe don't make sense for us because it's like a general survey that was given to so many folks. So just, yeah.
Some certain things you're going to say
doesn't apply or whatever. Apply. Yeah.
I'll be afraid of that.
Great. Anything else from city staff council?
Are we going to go over our outside committee reports?
Yeah, we have time to do that. I left my tablet at home, though, so that's where all my notes were. I forgot about that today. The JLEC, we did that meeting. Kirsten was at that one as well. They did discuss a few of the incidents that we had with the two shooting incidents. We talked about that a little bit as a group. Just it seems like there's a trend across multiple cities. I think Blaine had an event. Blaine just had another event around Northtown. So they're aware of that. They've been putting a lot of investment into IT infrastructure around radios. I think radios is going to be a big purchase coming up. And then their data centers. So most of it, that was my first JLEC meeting that I went to. Most of it was around more IT supporting law enforcement. There wasn't a ton about training and PPE and things of that nature, but it was informative. It sounds like we have a good group. So that was one of the groups I went to. Who else? Anything from the Rum River, Lower Rum River?
There's nothing. I mean, nothing that's citywide right now. It's really right now. It has just been discussing specific projects. And then they are trying to take a bigger picture look at the whole Rum River to make sure that if the water is coming in already, we'll say contaminated, into our watershed area, that we are not being held responsible for something that isn't our problem.
Sure.
So they're making sure of that and kind of making sure that the water is being tested. And so make sure that it's not getting worse under our watch, but that we're not being held responsible for someone else's, you know.
How far does the Lower Rum go up? Like, it's not the entire...
Andover, Ramsey border.
Okay, okay. So you guys don't have anything that happens north of us?
Yeah, we can't control that. Okay. I mean, every once in a while there is a little bit of cross discussion,
yeah.
I guess. I've not witnessed that, but you know, okay. there are other watershed management organizations, but they become more rural.
Yeah.
And often that's not their highest priority.
Sure. And those rural areas, I'm sure, is what affects it the most, because that's agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm just going to add for JLEC, as far as the radios goes, there was like a discussion on encryption compliance that the FBI's mandated requirement for radio channel encryption, and they're hoping to transition in the next 18 to 24 months with those radios. So that would include the purchase of new radios, like Ryan was mentioning, or upgrades or flash replacements. They're trying to make purchasing these equipment as equitable as possible, because it's kind of a joint group, right? And so they're trying to purchase things and make sure that everyone's up to speed, but not everyone has the same equipment. There's some talk about critical infrastructure. So there's a fencing consortium, and they're working on legislation to try and get some allocated funds to reduce funds for our city, or reduce costs for cities out here if they need fencing for critical incidents. And then there was discussion about a new full-time victim support specialist that had been added through the sheriff's office that we can tap into from our city. They also have interview rooms that were upgraded. We can take tours if we're interested. Our police department's aware of these. And they haven't needed to use them yet, but they said that they would if they needed to. And then there was a discussion about Anoka County being put out as a mischaracterization of us being a sanctuary county. Brad Johnson, the county attorney, responded to this large firm that had put us out there as a sanctuary county, saying that we've never held ourselves out as a sanctuary county. We follow the laws that are applicable within the state, meaning that we don't hold people due to their status as a citizen or not, but based on their charges. And obviously, newly, the administration itself has now put Anoka County on a list for us being a sanctuary county. Haven't had a JLEC meeting since that new information has come out, so I'm not sure what the response will be from County Attorney Johnson and or Sheriff Wise or Jim Dickinson in County Administration, but it'll be interesting to see if there will be or will not be a response. And then for the Fire Protection Council, there was a budget approval. And once again, just because it's a coordinated group, there's seeking of equitable sharing of funds, but we within Ramsey don't need to tap into those funds as often as other city fire departments do. They're going to be looking into expanding some annual training opportunities through Blue Ethos, which is a group that I think actually started from a police officer here within the city. Yep. So that's really great that they're doing that. And then they're going to be trying to expand some partnerships with Canvas Health to ensure that there's better mental health responses during fire EMS calls. Overall, like Ryan said, I think both groups are great. It's super cool to hear what other cities are doing. See if there's things that we don't have to maybe invest in ourselves that we can tap into through them, or vice versa. And it's just been really cool also to be able to go to different people's departments to see new spaces being built. So if we need ideas for, especially with our fire department growing, it's been really fun to see new departments and their equipment and things like that, so we can stay on the leading edge of public safety.
All right. I'm not mad. I don't have my tablet.
It's laminated on your tablet.
I know. Dan, anything? QCTV
no,
or anything?
No, meeting sense.
Okay. Shannon, anything?
I'm on the EDA. Comes up all the time with us.
Okay.
Business Expo coming, or the golf thing.
Golf
coming
Expo.
Up. That's what's coming up for sure.
August 19th.
Here we go.
Anything?
Planning be planning. We're always planning.
Anything Michael wish to know about public works?
Working.
Public's working.
Public's working.
Awesome. All right. Sounds good. We are adjourned. Thank you.
So Bruce.
Yeah, it was an outside.
Okay.
I didn't want it to snow.
Right? It's freezing in here.
Really?
It is chilly.
So
that's a new phase in my life. I've never been
in my life. Yeah. But it's still our contract.
Also, you know, on the way to the
top.
Financially responsible thing to do.
Yes, or whatever.
Okay.
Otherwise, you just end up wearing sweatshirts all day.
Yeah, you know, and you can't have
that. Jason's the guy, he's online.
But it's a button over here.
Yes, there is a button. I think it's that red one that's on that wall. Or is it that one?
We need to find that Excel spreadsheet, boost your salaries a little.
Yeah.
That's scary, man.